The influence of class stretches across nearly every aspect of society, yet its presence is subtle and hard to explicitly see. While the average Hamilton student may discuss class occasionally in coursework or even with friends, there are still many aspects of class and the ways in which it impacts campus life that are invisible.
This semester, we spent time addressing the concept of labor and its impact on the world. When setting out to do our own research, we were drawn to pursue a deeper understanding of how labor impacts life on our own campus, especially in regard to the visibility and invisibility of student labor at Hamilton College.
We wanted to investigate the reasons why students work on campus. We found that some work because they have to, specifically due to their socioeconomic status and a need to support their families at home. But other students work simply because they like their job or just for extra cash.
I really needed the money because I just wanted to be able to sustain myself without asking my parents for money because we're a pretty low-income family.
This podcast seeks to illuminate the various ways the visibility and invisibility of labor and ultimately class itself manifests on the Hamilton campus.
There's a perception in mainstream culture that college is the great equalizer. It's very much tied to the American dream, in which upward social mobility can be obtained through education and hard work. The problem with this view is that socioeconomic status prior to entering the higher education system is often ignored and treated as if irrelevant. In reality, this status still impacts the daily lives of students. Pierre Bourdieu, a French sociologist, helps us understand why socioeconomic status still impacts the daily lives of students on campus. In his theory of the forms of capital, Bourdieu states that there are three forms of capital: economic capital, social capital, and cultural capital. Economic capital is financial resources, money that people can invest in ways that provide mobility. Social capital are valuable connections and affiliations that increase access to economic capital. And cultural capital is knowledge and practices that pay off in terms of class mobility. While college may provide students with access to the social and cultural capital needed for class mobility, the reality is students need financial capital to pay for the education they are receiving, their basic needs, or to engage in social activities. For some students, having an on-campus job is a great way to earn that financial capital. However, many of our interviewees pointed out that their on-campus jobs were time-consuming, thus preventing them from dedicating as much time to their education.
From our interviews, we saw that the jobs students perform are critical to ensuring the smooth operation of campus. Such jobs were important not only to the health of students, but also the availability of recreational activities. Our interviewees worked in a variety of positions. They are EMTs, AV workers, sustainability coordinators, Opus baristas, and rock wall managers.
I'm a sustainability coordinator on campus.
My two on-campus jobs are climbing wall staff and working at Opus Cafe.
The rise of financial aid has increased accessibility to higher education, allowing many students from lower socioeconomic backgrounds to attend college. However, in no longer separate, not yet equal, Eppenshay and Radford argue that the work-study arrangements associated with such financial aid packages create a scenario where the ability to choose whether to work or not differs along class lines. In fact, some of our interviewees explain that they work not out of choice, but out of necessity. One interviewee in particular pointed out the distinction between choosing to work and having to work.
I choose to work on campus because I have to work, so I can survive and my parents pay for nothing that I do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to do laundry. Excuse me. I wouldn't be able to do anything, basically. I wouldn't be able to go off campus, pay for tuition. Mm-hmm. That's why.
When asked if they would want to do their current jobs, if they were unpaid positions, most said that some of their work was valuable enough to campus or their own passions that they would want to continue, although some specified that it would likely be for fewer hours a week.
I think I would. I think I would work less, and I'd probably have more complaints about them. but I would still do them if they're unpaid.
In her book, Class and Campus Life, Elizabeth Lee argues that one way inequality manifests on college campuses is through a hesitation to discuss differences in socioeconomic status. This is because of a fear of peers questioning someone's right to be on campus or of entering into uncomfortable conversations. More broadly, the idea of being discreet about one's class links closely with the Marxist idea of class consciousness, in which the social class dictates the nature of interpersonal interaction. In our interviews, however, we found that many people discuss their on-campus jobs with friends, even complaining about them.
I think a lot of it, though, is because, like, I do work on projects a lot, and I want to tell people about what I'm doing, and I want to, like, complain about, like, oh, it's so difficult to meet with this person and everything.
The key to understanding this fact, though, is that our interviewees who worked also say that the majority of their friends hold on-campus jobs as well. They felt comfortable discussing the topic with those who play a similar role on campus because there's less of a fear of addressing uncomfortable topics.
The range of responses given when asked about what percentage of the student body they thought worked indicates that student labor on campus is not an entirely transparent topic, even to those that work themselves. Students estimated between 20% and 50% of the student body worked on campus, which is a pretty wide range. This range of guesses shows a lack of consistent information throughout campus about employment.
When our group shared with each other the kinds of jobs we've been able to interview people about, there was surprise about the existence of some of the jobs, like doing laundry for sports teams or being a ball girl for field hockey games. While some jobs on campus might be obvious, there are many that go on behind the scenes, only known to those who perform them. Both of these categories of work can be equally important in regards to keeping campus life running smoothly.
The variety and awareness of the nature of campus employment reflects a dire need for campus-wide discussion. Many of the negative impacts of campus jobs are only heard by those close to student workers. They get left out in a mainstream narrative surrounding on-campus employment.